Inspire, educate, connect. This is Yoga Digest, a vibrant community of passionate change makers.
I'm Jen Bodner, and you're listening to Yoga Digest Now. We feature real people and real stories. Yoga Digest is your resource for inspiration, health, and well-being. Wake up to the now with tips from the experts on being the best you, achieving your goals, and finding balance for your mind, body, and soul. The time for living life fully is now. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in today. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be talking to a teacher that I really admire and look up to. She made a huge impression on me when I attended one of her classes at Wonderlust in Austin, Texas, a couple of years ago. Tiffany, why don't you introduce yourself and say hello to our audience today?
Hi, it's nice to be here. Nice to chat with you today, Jen. I'm excited and looking forward to more.
Yeah, thank you for making the time to talk with me today. Just a little bit about, I really find you to be unique in the space of a lot of yoga teachers these days. And I really enjoy what you bring to the table when you teach. I walk away from your classes feeling very educated. I learned something. Like, I take away and I've like learned things about how my body functions and deep internal healing of yoga. So I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I think one of the things that's also unique is in your bio, it says that you've been practicing yoga since you were a teenager. Tell me about that, because you don't hear that every day, especially from teachers that have been doing this for a little bit. How did that happen?
Yeah. And back then there weren't really any yoga studios. There weren't many, and there weren't anywhere I lived. I actually came about it because I was a troublemaker. My parents sent me on a wilderness program, which really changed my life. And when I got back, not only was I really empowered by learning how to survive, and I met an herbalist on the way and really became excited about helping others heal. Right after I got back, I saw a little wooden sign that said yoga and a phone number, and eventually remembered it. I couldn't drive at the time, so my mom would take me. And I grew up really athletic. I played a lot of competitive tennis and running, and did ballet since I was really tiny. And so the physicality really was interesting to me. But I think, as we all know, there was something more that really kept me interested, because there's a lot of physical outlets. I think over the past almost 25 years now, I think I would have lost interest if it was just the physical practice, and found other things, because there's so many interesting, really interesting physical things to do. But yeah, there was always something more.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the times you'll hear people jump immediately right into, you know, that transformation from the physical to more of the spiritual or emotional, you know, benefits of yoga. But this is where I want to kind of want to bring up your formal training in school, because you hold a bachelor's in medicinal plant biology, which I think is funny. That might mean something else today, right? And then you have a master's in acupuncture and oriental medicine. I mean, you're like a smarty, like you're the real deal. And this is a lot of education to bring into a yoga class. So you started out doing yoga first in high school, and then you went into college and got into this really kind of scientific stuff. Tell me about that transformation.
Yeah, well, it really started when I studied with the herbalist when I was 14. And when I went home, I just became really fascinated. I remember my room at the time was, my bookshelves were covered with herbs I had collected and potions I created. And I loved making things for family and friends. And so I quickly finished high school and started college when I was 16, did all my pre-med, did my undergrad in medicinal plant biology and nutrition. And then went on and did my 4 years of Chinese medicine. I looked at a lot of different options. I looked at even Western medicine a little bit, and Ayurveda and naturopathic, but I really loved the way that Chinese medicine really looked at the whole person and kind of made sense of it as one interwoven being. And I know Ayurveda does that as well, but I really liked the acupuncture, and growing up really athletic, I loved the ability to use acupuncture as well as herbs and nutrition and all sorts of other things. And so when I graduated, I went on to did a 2-year specialty in sports medicine. And really that's been my focus is orthopedics and sports medicine, though I'd have to say over the past 14 years or so of seeing patients after that, you know, there's always something deeper. There's right. always something more.
So I've heard some teachers talk about, because when you talk about, you know, Chinese medicine and Eastern medicine, I've heard the analogy that, you know, we have these meridians or energy channels, and that the yoga poses that, you know, the traditional yoga poses that we practice, like let's say from the Ashtanga series, are to stimulate the same areas that I guess back in ancient Eastern medicine, they were using the exact same acupuncture treatment to release those same areas of tension. Have you ever heard anything like that? Or
yeah, you know, there's this other side of me that's very science oriented. So it's really hard for me to wrap my brain around knowing that is specifically what's happening. I think there's a lot that we don't know and can't explain. And there's definitely an energetic side of the practice that influences us. And I think the physical layer of the practice really influences the energetic layer, the mental layer, the spiritual layer. They're so interconnected and you can't separate them. Does it really correlate specifically to meridians and acupuncture points? I'm not really sure. And there's so many different styles of acupuncture too. And it's really hard to make direct connections, but I definitely think it's always being influenced, whether it's a specific acupuncture point or this energetic being. Yeah, but I definitely think, I mean, I teach teacher trainings looking at the Chinese medicine application to yoga as far as how does it influence how we apply the yoga practice. And I think looking at, you know, like from a constitutional perspective, you know, qualities of how we apply it, sequencing, alignment, there's a lot of overlap there. Though yeah, the direct correlation between points is, I think, a little harder to really make a. I mean, there's
sure,
yeah,
yeah. And then I had another yoga teacher say one time, you know, who sat there and counted all these energy channels and meridians? This is what I want to know. So I think it can get a little confusing.
And that's where it's beyond me. Who knows what these people were doing when they came up with these meridians thousands of years ago, or even yoga? I mean, gosh. I can't claim to have all the answers to that, especially as far as enlightenment goes. I mean, gosh, there's a whole layer that I can't teach you.
it keeps us engaged. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, you use the words alignment based when you talk about your training and your methods. And when I hear alignment based, sometimes I go to like, you know, this very Bikram militant, style of yoga where, you know, they're telling you that you actually like spacers, like they want your feet a certain amount of inches apart. They want you looking a specific direction. And I just kind of want to understand your explanation, and philosophy of alignment based yoga.
Yeah, I think it's similar and yet really different. For me, our alignment is really based on understanding of the anatomy of the body, which, you know, as we learn more and more, we realize is very unique to each person. And so one thing I feel really strongly about is we have a general context of the pose and an orientation for the pose. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, in a 200-hour level teacher training, we'll learn very specific ways of coming into the pose. But the reality is that it's much more complex than that. And I think, you know, people like Krishnamacharya knew that and maybe didn't think about it in an anatomical sense, but definitely in a more energetic or intuitive sense of being able to adopt it, that it's not this, you know, I love Yoga Journal, you know, but there, you know, it's not the Yoga Journal picture of like 90 degree angle. And but we need that for a context. If we didn't have that, we're just, you know, making random shapes and orientations. So, you know, the alignment gives us a context. And for me, the anatomy, especially with yoga medicine, gives us a way to inform it for the individual and an individualized context that is so important, I think, therapeutically.
Awesome. Yeah, that's that explains it. So it's not like hard and fast, like this is the only way and there is no variance from that.
Yeah, which makes it harder because there's a lot of gray area then, which, you know, which is why even in our 200-hour training, we do give them, you know, clear guides to this is how you do this pose and this is how you do that one, because you need that as a starting point. You know, as you advance as a teacher and you learn more about anatomy and alignment and energetics and the body, you start to learn more ways to adapt and you start to recognize that everybody's very different, which is why, you know, we have so many styles of yoga, which is so brilliant because each one works for someone. Mm-hmm. So what we do in our advanced trainings is not about a style of yoga as much as learning how to apply it to the individual so that we can start to make sense of why one style might be more helpful, and you know, how and when to use the practice and modify it more therapeutically for the person, for the individual.
So I got kind of, we talked about you practicing yoga when you were really young, and then we talked about your journey into college and getting all into science and becoming a genius there. And then what I missed though was when you actually took your yoga teacher training and when you became a yoga teacher.
Yeah. So when I moved off to college, like I said, I started college when I was 16, and when I moved off there weren't any yoga studios. So I had kind of enjoyed, you know, just really casually teaching what I learned and loved to my friends and family. And so I decided my summer before I went off to go and do a teacher training. And at the time there was no internet, so there weren't really any options. I remember getting two pamphlets in the mail, and one of them fit my summer schedule and one didn't. So I went to that one and did a month-long immersion and then decided to start teaching. And
in college,
Yeah. And awesome. I remember all the way through college, all the way through Chinese medicine school. At one point, my mom saying to me, because I taught a lot when I was in Chinese medicine school on top of taking like 13 classes a quarter, which was ridiculous. And I remember my mom saying to me, like, why do you keep teaching yoga when you know you're going to quit when you get a real job? And I didn't even bother. There was no use even trying to explain. It was just one of those things like,
yeah. In 2017, I'm still having that conversation with my teenage children. When are you going to get a real job, mom?
And now the funny thing is, you know, I've given up most of my medical practice. I only see patients one day a week when I'm in town, and most of what I do is yoga, which is the ironic part. So as you know,
that's great. No, it's because so many people are open to it now, you know, kind of like you said, you couldn't find it, you know, 20 years ago. And now everybody's like peeking in and all these new places.
I think the interesting thing is, I mean, I see so many medical providers coming to our teacher trainings, mm-hmm. wanting to switch over from medicine, which has its own limitations. I know a lot of people will come and then I see teachers come and they want to get their medical license somehow. And I'm like, you know, the grass is always greener, guys. You know, do what you love. If you love teaching yoga, you don't need a medical license. Like, just keep learning. There's so much to learn. There's so many great people to learn from. Just keep learning. And if you're a doctor, you know, and you want, you know, obviously you could come and we have maybe a quarter of our teachers are healthcare providers of some aspect.
Awesome. So yeah.
It's cool to see this movement of the medical world really embracing it. And,
absolutely.
I would never would have guessed.
Yeah. Well, I know some of the hospitals. I'm here in Dallas, this pretty big metropolitan area, and there's hospitals that literally are looking to hire like a yoga therapist for the hospital that's on staff, just like a nurse or somebody else that comes in and does yoga therapy with different patients. So it is, it's very encouraging to see it go that way. So what I want to talk to you next about with all of that is pain and ailments and treatments. Cause you're saying energy medicine. So I've heard of the energy healing and kind of done some of that. It's pretty powerful if you're open to it. With energy medicine, I mean, that's a strong, bold statement to use medicine in regards to yoga. But we all know yoga is a healing practice. So tell me about what do you most common see, or if you are treating something, or what do people come to you for?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is pain. I mean, that's my specialty too, is orthopedics and sports medicine. So I pain in any sort. You know, I started the acupuncture and program at Nike and did a lot of yoga there as well. So I saw everything because, you know, there's 10,000 people on campus there. So I saw everything. I have a secondary specialty in fertility. So I used to do a lot of that. I don't do that anymore because I'm not in one place long enough. But headaches, pain, I would say pain is the biggest thing. You know, as in my world, whether it's yoga, acupuncture, or even in Western medicine, I'd say back pain is probably the number one, is always the number one.
Oh gosh, and then yes.
Hips and shoulders and headaches and, you know, whatnot on top of that.
Yeah. Back pain is a big one, and so many people suffer from it and have surgery for it and wind up worse than they were to begin with. So tell me how yoga actually treats this pain, and let's use back pain as an example. I mean, what is it that yoga does to help alleviate pain?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big topic right there. But there's a few things that I think makes yoga really helpful for this. One is we can look at it, you know, more of like a physical therapy modality, not the profession of physical therapy, but a physical modality to be able to work with the muscles, the musculoskeletal system, the fascia. We can talk about it really anatomically, looking at alignment. And I think that's all really helpful. You know, as yoga teachers work, I'm really clear about this. We're not doctors. We're not diagnosing. We're not there to take over from their medical providers or their physical therapists. That's a whole nother realm, but there's a whole big part of it that's missing for continuous care, for wellness. You know, even post-surgical, a lot of people get through their physical therapy and still have issues to work with. And so, you know, the great thing about a yoga teacher is we can kind of look at not only that, but then we also now know what we're understanding more, what we know now about pain is that it's not necessarily just a mechanical issue. There's, especially with chronic pain, there's, you know, this central nervous system that really is a big part of our perception and regulation of pain. And I think one of the biggest things yoga can be helpful for is just simply establishing this mindfulness, this body awareness, this ability to notice and perceive and kind of break down and untangle a lot of what tends to be this chronic pain pattern through very simple techniques. And then of course there's so many other components of yoga, you know, the energetic side of things, the mental and emotional side, and which one of the things I think is great about yoga is it's not necessarily about diagnosing in a physical mechanical issue, but it's also not about if there is an emotional issue of having to talk therapy, which again are both great modalities. And I think are really important to always have students working with a healthcare provider, but we don't always have to name it or break it down or dissect it. The beauty of yoga is it comes back to what is my experience? And there's no right or wrong in my experience. My experience is always the truth. It is what I feel. It is what I perceive, whether that's good or bad or right or wrong. And yoga, as you know, is about kind of taking away the mask, the filter of our vision to be able to clearly see what's there without judgment, without bias. You know, what is the pain? What does it feel like? To be able to break it down. And for me, what, as a healthcare provider, I feel like is the base foundation that every patient should experience, if nothing more than to be able to give their doctor better feedback.
Yeah, awareness.
And it's just that I think would be great. But as we know, that's like one very, very, very small piece of what yoga does for us. That's nothing. And so, yeah, I mean, there's so much as far as pain goes. We could talk a lot longer on it, but I think in a general sense, that gives you a big picture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you used a lot of words that I really like to hear coming from your mouth. And it's like that unveiling and uncovering. And really, at the end of the day, it's an awakening, right? It's just getting down deep into the root of the issue.
Yeah,
because it's so easy to put a Band-Aid on it and mask it, like you said.
Yeah, and I think it's really great because, you know, as yoga teachers, we can keep studying and we can learn and talk about this in depth, but we can also step back and go, hey, as yoga teachers, we all kind of do this to some extent. It is simple and it is really, really helpful. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, rocket science, but we can continue to learn and kind of become more efficient in how we work with our students as well.
Yeah, and you've been using the word yoga teachers, and that's great too, because there are lots of yoga teachers around, lots of yoga teacher trainings, and seems almost like everybody's a yoga teacher these days. And so I just have to ask you, do you see any? We talk a little bit about the commercialism of yoga, or perhaps even saturation of yoga, and with so many people becoming yoga teachers, so quickly, do you have any concerns or an opinion on that?
Well, I just hope that people who are going and getting trainings are being reminded that they need to keep learning. For me, a 200-hour teacher training is just the very beginning. It's like, this is how you start. Here, now you know how to teach. And then it's a lifelong process after that. It doesn't mean you have to go through 1,000-hour teacher trainings or whatnot. We've got so many great resources now to learn from online or books or in-person trainings. There's so many great ways to feed yourself, but that as a teacher, you're constantly renewing and learning more. And, you know, I think there's a positive and a negative side to everything. For me, I think it's only positive. If I remember, you know, back in the 90s when I was teaching, my mom, you know, thought it was a fad. And God, look back at the 90s, it was nothing. You know, there was so little yoga, and it was this idea like, is it going to pass? Is it going to be a fad? I think this wellness surge tells us that yoga is not going anywhere. You know, there might be some things that come and pass, you know, some trends in yoga, but you know, yoga is not going anywhere. And it's really cool to see so many people, you know, coming out and doing it. And, you know, it just goes to show that there is a lot to this. And, you know, we just have to keep educating ourselves and continuing to learn and grow. And I think it's good for everyone. And, you know, I mean, there's always obstacles. I remember back in the 90s as a yoga teacher, the hardest part was going around and educating people on why they need yoga, why they should do yoga. And the great thing is now people know that there's such a market for it. So now as a yoga teacher, I can find my niche. I don't have to be everything to everyone. I can specialize in seniors or yes, in inversions or in therapeutics or in back pain or anything. And I just have to be able to be clear about what that is so that I can draw those people to me and not have to please everyone, which, oh gosh, that's, to me, that's so freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also creates a tremendous amount of abundance in a space that can feel quite the opposite sometimes. I know.
Yeah. And we all work together. I mean, I think as a yoga teacher, it's just about helping students find the right place for them. And there's something for everyone. And gosh, I just think it's so cool to see where yoga is now. I think it's amazing.
Where do you see it going? I mean, you said it's not going away. So, I mean, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what's going on with energy medicine? What's going on with you?
You know, I think that some of the trendiness of yoga will wear off at some point, of course. You know, it can't be trendy forever. There's always trends. But I think the staying power of yoga is in the experience that people have. And, you know, you can't really, that there's no controversy on that. You can't question that, that people see results, they feel results, you know, everyone responds differently into different styles. But, I think the staying power is in the experience. And yeah, I think that'll evolve over the process. And I look forward to seeing what happens. Yeah. I mean, for us, our focus is really just, you know, with yoga medicine is on connecting yoga teachers with the medical world, with whether that's doctors or patients or hospitals, and creating that bridge between the two, that as a healthcare provider, I think is so desperately needed to be an adjunct to people's care, especially preventatively and wellness sector, but also continuity of care. So yeah, I mean, that's our focus is really with yoga medicine is bridging that gap and training our teachers to understand both the East and West, you know, the anatomy and physiology, to be able to speak with doctors and interact with doctors, not to be the doctor, because that clearly takes a lot more time and information. But as yoga teachers, we don't need to, you know, we can do so much just with what we have and being able to help make those connections with doctors, I think.
Yeah, a liaison. It's good to be able to be comfortable in that space, because I think for so long it was kind of taboo. So I have to ask you, because you've been doing this for a while, right? And you have seen a huge evolution and shift, and you are such a voice and leader in the space. Where does Tiffany go to get her cup filled? Who do you draw inspiration from, or any mentors?
Gosh, I get that question a lot. And, you know, I can't say that there's one person. I personally feel like I learn from every single person. I think there's something to learn from everyone, whether they're a brand new teacher or they've been teaching for 45 years. You know, at conferences, when I'm teaching, I'm always trying to attend some classes, and no matter who I get to, I feel like I take something away from it, maybe a lot away from it. I'm constantly reading research articles. That's a lot of my job now. And we also have our own nonprofit, which is a research foundation, running our own research and reading and learning myself and seeing what's out there. There's not one place. It's like it's everything.
Yeah. No, that's great. And you can learn. You know, I love to be around the elderly and listen really, really close to what they have to say. But I love to listen to what 3 and 4 year olds have to say too, because they just see the world through a completely different lens that you kind of got to stop and observe and really, really take it all in. So
absolutely.
What do you have going on? Anything exciting? Are you got any workshops or retreats? You got another book? I know we got Meditate Your Weight not too long ago, which was awesome. What else are you working on?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's always a lot of things going on. Most of what I do is the teacher trainings now, which are constantly going on all over the world. And but the newer, I guess, the newer things that we've added on recently are 2 nonprofits. One is the one I mentioned already, the Research Institute, the Yoga Medicine Research Institute, trying to add some additional research and contribute our part to that. And we're underway with that. And that's one thing. And then the other thing that's really exciting that's launching that will be more interesting to the public, I think, is our Yoga Medicine Seva Foundation, which is our other nonprofit, which are both funded in part by the proceeds of Yoga Medicine. And that one is for me, it's such a labor of love. It's so important as a teacher. I know even as a medical provider, you know, when we do our internships in Chinese medicine, we have to go out and do internships in, you know, I worked in domestic violence centers and alcohol, drug and alcohol abuse centers. I learned so much from working with different populations and demographics and how to be of service as a healthcare provider, as a yoga teacher, you know, and especially as a yoga teacher. For me, I come back to that all the time. Our job is to be of service. It's not to have all the answers or know everything, but it's to do the best we can. And so for me, it came out of that, like wanting our teachers to go and do service work and help these other populations. And what it's really turned into is a much bigger project where we have a new shelter. So we're funding some shelters in Calcutta last year, and we're actually opening a whole brand new one in Delhi this year for women who've been rescued from the sex industry and other social injustices in India. Really both as a way to give back to a culture that's given us so much and also as a woman who's educated and empowered to be able to share that with them. You know, we give them food and shelter and medical. We teach them yoga, but to me, the biggest thing we do is we provide vocational skills to them. These women, it's incredible to go and visit these shelters, to see them. You would never, ever guess what they've been through in their lives. They're the most incredible, inspiring women I've met in my life. And to see them have these resources and be able to support themselves, it's like, it gives me chills just to, you know, every time I talk about it, it's incredible. And to me, our money goes so far in India. It's so cool to be able to watch how much we can do there.
Awesome. Oh, that's so, so great to hear and so inspiring. I mean, that in itself just must inspire you to keep on, you know, it's like you have a purpose and
yeah. I was going to say, I think as a yoga teacher too, we get so weighed down by having to do all this and be all this. We've got to have a social media page. We've got to have a website. We've got to have a card, and we have to get more people in our classes, and we've got to wear the right, you know, stuff or whatever that might be. There's so many things going through our head. And like you said, with so many yoga teachers, there is more pressure. And I think it's a really good reminder that, you know, our job is to be of service and to give back as well, I think is such an important thing to get us out of, you know, all of these things that weigh us down and to remember the whole purpose of it all, the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Like why you decided to do it in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Well, Tiffany, I just want to thank you so much for talking to Yoga Digest today. I hope to see you out on the circuit soon. I love attending your classes, and I wish you the best with all your endeavors. And we're really excited to be starting to work with Energy Medicine. We're going to have some of your teachers, I think, writing on our staff, which is super great and exciting. So we'll be looking for more of that inspiration and brilliance and information coming from you guys. So thank you so much for joining me.
We look forward to having our yoga medicine teachers there.
It sounds great. All right, Tiffany, well, you have a great rest of the day, and thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
Got it. Bye.
Hey, just before you hop off, I think you have, just so that when you link it, because you kept calling it energy medicine, it's yoga medicine.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Where did I see energy medicine? Oh my gosh.
So just okay, make sure when you link it on there, it's not a big deal. I think you only said it a couple times, but that
I'm
assuming
where did I get that from? Because I, oh man. Okay. Yeah. We'll look at it. Maybe I can have them edit it out.
It's not a big deal. I think it was only twice just for the links and stuff so that when it's on there and with the article coming out that's.
Did I say energy medicine?
I did say energy medicine.
Oh my gosh. And
it was only once or twice. It's fine.
Okay. All right. No.
And I mentioned yoga medicine afterwards, so I think they got it in there. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Good. And they'll have the links, I'm assuming, on there somewhere to visit yoga medicine or the save a page or.
Yeah. So I can do a little, what I'll do is an intro when you see it. It'll be on the website, you know, and it'll be a podcast and I'll ask for some artwork of you, most likely. And then I do like a little paragraph, and within that we can definitely put some links to, right. Yoga medicine and your.
Yeah. I mean, it's yogamedicine.com. And then if you wanted to put the save a link on there, since we talked about it at the end,
sure.
And then she can send you the logo, the yoga medicine logo, and some pics of me too. And anything else you need.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. She's been super, super communicative. I think she called me like 3 times yesterday. So she's very thorough and really looking out for
that
you.
Was my fault, because I think we got the scheduling mixed up. So my apologies. I'm glad that we were able to make it
me
work.
Me too. Yeah. No, that it worked out perfectly. All right. Well, listen, I know you're on to your next appointment and I am too. So we'll have a finished product and I will, let y'all know once that's ready. Okay.
Yeah. Just send links. Have a good day, Jen.
You too, Tiffany. Take care. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.